All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's Parent Success Club webinar. I'm Jody Johnston-Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop. And today our topic is the family bed. And I did want to say hi, let you see me before I go take away my camcorder and move over to the desktop. And we actually have three articles on the family bed over on the Parent Tool Shop website. So I've got that shared with my screen where that is. And if you just type family bed into the search, you should be able to find these. They'll all kind of be in a list, but I've already got them opened up. So the topic of family bed is one that not everybody believes in having a family bed. It doesn't work for everybody. Not everybody, you know, you want to have sleeping arrangements where everybody's comfortable, and sometimes people aren't comfortable with a family bed. And then particularly in probably, you know, the last decade or so, there have been a lot more professionals, medical professionals coming on board saying, hey, you shouldn't have a family bed because it could be dangerous. There's the risk of smothering and things like that. And so parents are, you know, often afraid to have a family bed. So the topic of family bed, though, is one for me that even though I know it's not for everybody and I wouldn't recommend it to everybody, and in fact, I would actually discourage some parents against it, it is a topic that is one that I do like to discuss because I find that parents will often use a family bed for one of two reasons. Either they kind of do it intentionally because they want to bond, whether it's part of their culture, their family culture, maybe their, you know, ethnic culture, you know, from a culture that's kind of passed down through the ages, that that's how things were, or even from a very scientific and cultural scientific basis, they recognize the value and role that ongoing touch and close communication has with promoting bonding, particularly in infants. The second reason is not so much intentional as much as more, I would have to say, almost like out of exasperation or desperation, that parents are trying to get their child to sleep in a crib or a bed, and the child is just, you know, so upset and they can't settle down, and so they, you know, maybe pick them up, you know, or bring them to bed, or start out laying down with them, and then the parent falls asleep before the child does, which happens a lot. Or maybe a child was sleeping okay, and then as their sleep cycles change, the child shows up in bed, and it's the middle of the night, and maybe parents do or don't wake up, and they kind of just end up in a habit of it. So for those situations where a parent and who's watching this, that you're resorting to a family bed more out of desperation and exasperation, I want to point out that this series of articles is actually part of a bigger series of articles on bedtime hassles. And so there's actually 10 different bedtime problems. We've got some other webinars about that. There's a teleseminar about bedtime. But the articles kind of break up the different problems into an article based on each type of problem. And then about the last three have to do with what if children end up in your bed. So I'm going to start just kind of with the personal story because I think it's good to be transparent about any bias that I might have. Not that I'm going to push anything on you, but I had a family bed. Anyone who's read my book, when you get to chapter 7 and actually it's in chapter 8 and it's the section on helping children deal with fears, I tell the story about this horrifying nightmare that I had when I was about 2 years old and I was afraid to sleep alone my whole childhood. But I was so young when the dream happened that I really wasn't making the connection that I even had the dream, which I didn't remember, that was what was causing my fear. And it wasn't, it's actually kind of a freaky story. So there's kind of some weird supernatural thing that happens at the very end. So my point is that growing up, I had a lot of fears of going to sleep by myself. My parents believed, and it was the practice, you know, kind of the parenting lore passed down through the ages and what the current experts of their time were saying, you know, don't let children sleep in your bed. It's a bad habit. You don't want them to start. Make sure that they stay in their own bed. And so they would start me out in my bed and they had wonderful bedtime routines. And, you know, my mom would scratch my back. My dad would tell me a story. He would make up a story that was very creative and I'd get all touched tucked in, and then I couldn't go to sleep. And then my imagination would run with me, and I'd be scared. My parents would go to their bed, close their door, and the only being available to me was the family dog that would sleep outside their door on the floor in the hallway. And I would go and curl up with the dog just so that I wasn't allowed to have the dog in my bed. That also was against the rules. Wasn't allowed to sleep in their bed, wasn't allowed to come into their room. And so I would fall asleep in the hallway with the dog just so that I would have some company. As I got older and I recalled the dream and kind of understood what that was about, had a little bit more, you know, maturity and rationality behind my dream and that being a fear and learning how to work through that, it wasn't so much a deal of sleeping alone. But then when I had kids, with my son, he actually slept through the night very well until he cut his first tooth. And then he was up all night, and anytime he was a very light sleeper, anytime I'd lay him down, as soon as I'd take my hands off of him or change my position, he would wake up. And I tried initially that whole let him cry it out thing, and that didn't last very long. He would end up breaking out in a rash and throwing up, and I'd be in the other room crying because I felt like I was putting him through this. And then I attended La Leche League, which is an international organization that promotes breastfeeding. And they also tend to promote a more, it's called attachment style parenting. And a lot of them had family beds. And I kind of brought up, you know, this dilemma that I was in, that this is what I was told. My whole family, all of the grandparents, and this is my first time child. And of course, all first time parents are a little bit more susceptible and insecure about their parenting, even though I already been teaching parenting. This was an area I felt very insecure about. And they said, well, why don't you read this book called The Family Bed? And it's an oldie, but a goodie. It's called The Family Bed by Tyne Thevenin. Let's see if I have it in here. Here, I will look it up for you. I'm sure it's still around. What's really cool about it is it was actually her master's thesis. So it has a lot of research in it. And if you look at the way I spelled her name here up in on the video, you'll see that I typed The Family Bed and then Tyne Thevenin. It's spelled T-I-N-E. That's her first name. T as in toy. I-N as in Nancy. E. Thevenin is T-H-E. V as in Victor. E-N-I-N. And it's available on Amazon. And that book was a real breakthrough for me because it had a lot of information in there about international cultures, scientifically, the benefits of shared sleep. And so I felt a bit empowered to follow my intuition a little bit more. But yet I also was not only a child protective service worker before I had children, but at the time I had my son, I had a TV show, that a local TV show offering safety tips for parents. And so I was very, very safety minded. And I was a little bit paranoid about the safety factor. And we went ahead and you know, we had a family bed, and oh my gosh, everybody slept so much better, which isn't the case for everybody, but it was for us. And when he got to be, I don't know, 2.5, 3 or so, his sleep cycle changed. He was sleeping through the night more, and then we started to gradually move him out of the family bed. And the family bed book also offers suggestions for that. So the three articles that I have on the Parents Tool Shop website, you should be able to go to .com or .org. Right now, as I'm recording this particular website or webinar, we've got both up, but we're in the process of switching over to .com. The first one is whether or not the family bed is an option for you. And there are some statistics there, you know, about how Americans are one of the few cultures that sleep separately and some of the benefits of shared sleep. The thing that you really need to keep in mind about whether or not you're going to do this, because it really literally could be a life and death decision, is whether or not there is any kind of risk for suffocation. So almost as a disclaimer, before I go in and say any more about family beds, I want to kind of do the disclaimer aspect of this, which is if anybody is a drinker on medication that could make them really heavy sleepers, is significantly overweight, that if they were to roll over, that they may not They either could smother the child or may not feel that the child is there. Or if the child does have some kind of, asthma or breathing issues, or even at those younger ages where they're at a high risk of SIDS. So what's interesting is, so I had the family bed with my children, and then my daughter, as most of you know, had her baby. I'm a grandma, and my granddaughter just turned 2, and they ended up in very short order having a family bed also. And we often joke about how everybody always complains, or even jokingly complains about when you have a baby, how you don't get any sleep. And every time she hears that joke, she'll look at me and say, yeah, unless they had a family bed. So our family has practiced family beds. Like I said, I don't necessarily say it's for everybody, and not everybody will necessarily sleep that way. But if it is something that you have been thinking about, or maybe you instinctively did do it, but you're having some guilt, I guess I want to remove the guilt, maintain that caution, but remove the guilt. You certainly are not going to harm your baby from an emotional standpoint, or, as long as their physical safety, in terms of suffocation is okay, as long as you're accounting for that. So that's kind of this first article, is just kind of deciding, is the family bed an option for you? So if you go and you type family bed into Parents Tool Shop, this will be one of the articles that will come up. The next one is, if you do have a family bed, and you kind of want to get out of the habit of, okay, they've been sleeping in your bed, but now you want them to start sleeping on their own. It could be that you're ready to have another baby and you need to make room in the family bed, or just, you kind of feel like they're getting to the age where maybe it's time. The best way to do that, like any kind of weaning, is to not do a cold turkey. There's a variety of ways that you can do that. What a lot of parents will do is they will start out, they'll get a little bed, or even, sleeping bags on the floor, or a little mattress on the floor, or a little bed. If it's something small enough that it can go right next to your bed, they can start out there. If they wake up in the middle of the night and they want to nurse, and a lot of times nursing is what will kind of encourage family beds, that wonderful oxytocin kicks in once you get the letdown and you're breastfeeding, and just has this wonderful relaxation effect, and then everybody falls back asleep. So you can do that if they're right next to you. And I don't want to impose an age. I think most parents would probably tell you between about 18 months and 3 years is kind of the time where parents start to feel like, okay, it's about time. Kids are starting to move around a lot, kick you in the head and stick their finger up your nose while you're sleeping, it's getting a bit crowded in the family bed. So whenever you feel like they're starting to show signs of separation, we probably could start moving in that direction. Get some kind of a little youth bed or whatever, get them started in that, and let them go ahead and come in to the bed at night. What will naturally happen is that children's sleeping their sleep cycles will start to mature. They'll start to sleep longer through the night, and they'll start to sleep deeper at night. And so as that development occurs, if they start in this extra bed just next to you, and they start to sleep through the night there, then you can start moving the bed a little bit farther away from your bed, then on the other side of the room, in your room, then eventually into their room. And they could still be starting out when you first put them down, but then if they wake up, they've just got to go a little bit further to get back into your bed. And so that kind of brings us to the article about kids getting out of their bed and wanting to sleep with you. And this is when you've gotten your child to sleep in their own bed, and then they wake up and come to bed with you. So if you are trying to wean them more out of the family bed and into their own, you have a couple of options. One is that you can start working with them on how to calm themselves down and put themselves back to sleep. Once your children are old enough that they're using their imagination, you can actually use their imagination to help them create maybe a peaceful scene in their mind, sing themselves to sleep. If they're talkers, have them sing themselves to sleep. Having things that are there that are quiet, that aren't going to keep wake them up or keep them awake, that would be kind of calming things, so that it's not up to you to go in to calm them and get them back to sleep, nor is it something that they've got something to try before they resort to coming and climbing in bed with you. So that's one option. The option is, if they wake you when they come to bed, you get up and you walk them back. And every time they do that, you know, you encourage them to use the self-calming skills. And then if they come back in, then you're going to, you know, walk them back in. The challenge with that approach is that you're not going to get much sleep doing that. It may work. It's not a quick fix. It could take a couple of weeks of consistently taking them back, coaching them through calming down. You want to try not to wake them up too much or wake yourself up too much. Personally, for me, I had a hard time with that because I'm a light sleeper and I would have a hard time going back to sleep. This is just me, Jody, not, you know, the parents' tool shop, you know, official word on family beds or anything. But for me, that was, you know, that particular option didn't work real well. So for me, you know, I started him out in his bed. Amber was not, she had Chris up here on the same level. So I think she felt like she had company, even though they weren't in the same bed. She was in the family bed, but it was easier to move her out into her own bed because her brother was up here with him. So, but you know, for my son who had more of those sleep pattern issues, it took a while, but you know, by the time he was maybe 3 and a half, he was starting out in his own bed. His sleep cycles eventually matured. He started sleeping through the night. Occasionally he'd get up to go to the bathroom, but then he was getting that practice of putting himself back to sleep. So that article, the What Do You Do When Children Wake Up in the Middle of the Night and Want to Sleep in the Family Bed? That's the third article. So the first is the family bed an option? The second is, if you're not sleeping comfortably, and that's kind of how to gradually move them out into their own bed. And then what do you do when children wake up in the middle of the night and want to sleep in the family bed? So all three of those articles are at Parents Tool Shop. This webinar will now be, within a day or so, will be in the Parent Success Club archives. And so you'll be able to access this again there. So, and again, I'll put this up on the screen as the final thing. The book again is The Family Bed by Tyne Thevenin. I'm sure there's a ton of really great books out there since then. It was published originally in 1987. My son was born in 1984. So you can kind of tell that was the book of my time, but I'll tell you, it really is timeless. I would imagine maybe some of the research has been updated, but from everything that I've heard, and you know, I do try to stay up on the research. Everything that I've heard is that, you know, everything that she says in there is still accurate. It's just, I think people are more aware of the dangers and kind of on, especially in American society, the American Academy of Pediatrics, a lot of the children's hospitals will have public service announcements, you know, don't let your children sleep in your bed. So I'm not telling you to let your children sleep in your bed. I don't want, you know, sued if you do that and something happens. I do want you to weigh the option, to not automatically dismiss it, weigh it in light of if it can be done safely, is it going to work for everybody in the family? If you do it, become educated about it and be conscious about it and aware. And then you can refer to some of those articles and see if that helps with some suggestions for helping to make things go more smoothly. So I'm going to stop the screen sharing and just see, I'm going to see if those who are with us on the call live today just have any questions about this topic, and then I'll stop the recording when we're done with this particular topic. So let me change the webinar options so that you can...
All attendees are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star six.
Okay, there we go.
So, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, it's me again, Hala. Can I? I would like to add something here.
Yeah.
I think, as a mother, because I'm a mother of a 6 years old son, you should follow your instinct. First of all, let's put it this way, and maybe, you know, it's another point of view to look at this subject. We have just a few years with our, with our child being really close to us. I mean, you know, yeah. when the puberty starts, like 10,
that's right.
You know, different kids, they will push the door and they will say, okay, you stay out, mom, dad, whatever. What I don't really understand, why is this such a hassle, you know, to, this is the human being nature, you know, we push them, when the kids wants us, we push them away. And when they don't want us anymore, we want them, you know? It's like everything in life. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like everything in life. I mean, about this, because we are talking about this topic, you know, I don't want to go any further of that. The child, if the child is not ready, why you should go through all this hassle to push them away? Just because you heard that is not good. It's not good for what? The child mentally is not ready. I'm sorry, my son is almost 6 years old. My husband is traveling a lot. We don't have, back home, we used to have a big house. Here, it's a small apartment. However, I don't make, first of all, he doesn't want to sleep alone. And I don't want to sleep alone either. Why should I make, just because he's 5 and a half, okay, you go and sleep in that room and I go and sleep by myself? No, we sleep all together and we are fine. And when my husband comes, yes, we share the family bed. He's not ready. I ask him, mommy, you want to go? No, I'm not ready. No, I want to be close to you. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah. And you're right. There will come a time when he's not going to want that. Children will naturally want to sleep on their own. And I appreciate you sharing your passionate, personal opinion, because those are three things that as instructors, we usually don't do. I did share my personal story, but I, being the one presenting it, the passion, the personal, and the opinion are three things I usually kind of try to keep out. You know, when I'm trying to present this something to everyone and try to be really objective. So I'm glad that you said what you said.
And one more thing. My I have a brother 10 years younger than me. I'm 38. My brother is 28. Back home, before I moved on, we had a small apartment, you know. So my mother has to share the bed with my brother until I think he was 16 or 17 because it was not... you know, other room to go in. And I'm sorry, my brother is a very, you know, handsome guy. He's not attached at all to my mom. I mean, he's not like, because some moms, especially mothers who has boys, thinking, oh my God, he's going to be like, I don't know how you call this in English, like, you know, mommy boy all the life. No, he slept with my mom until he was 16 or I don't know, 18, because it was no any other option, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's okay with my mom, but he's not this type of guy, you know, who, you know, call 5 times per day and he's, you know, he needs to ask mommy for everything. No, he's perfectly independent.
Yeah.
So I think there are just myths, you know, like, oh my God, he's not good. I have a friend who's been gone through hell, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months because her husband said, no, the child needs to be alone since the day one they got from the hospital.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't see the point. I don't see the point, you know.
And as someone in at the fact that we are in America, you know, and doing education in America, we and this is where, and I'm probably different than what some parent educators won't even go there and say absolutely not. But I mean, the fact that you're not from America, I'm glad that you're one of the people who's on the call today, because that really kind of illustrates the point. Like, we're really unusual in America. We're one of the few cultures that doesn't sleep in a family bed. And there's tons and tons of research that show all the benefits of it, that it doesn't delay development, that it doesn't create, you know, mama's boys or clinginess. In fact, it's just the opposite. You know, the more secure children feel, the more easily they'll separate, they won't go through all those insecurities. So it's actually backwards, you know, and like you said, I kind of related to, it was like just putting both of us, you know, through hell, trying to get him to sleep on his own when clearly, you know, he was very independent during the day, but he liked to snuggle at night.
There is this current, you know, that, oh my God, we should not sleep with a child. I have another friend who has a daughter. She stays in the office because she's a manager until 6-7 o'clock. She comes home, she barely stays with her daughter like 1 hour, 2 hours. And all the time she used to come to the office, oh my God, my daughter gave me again hard time because she wanted to sleep with me. She's crying, Mommy, you know, but I miss you. Of course, that girl has, and I told her, even if she was my boss, that girl, that only from what she needs you. I don't, because she was, you know, the girl as well, you know, she missed her mom. So I, because this, yeah, even back home in Europe, is this current, oh my God, we should let the kids sleep by themselves. Why? If the kids, some kids, they, you know, this is how they born. They are not, they don't really care, you know. I mean, if they ask, I ask my son all the time, even back home. Come on, we prepared for them a beautiful room, you know.
Yeah.
That room was just to keep the toys inside and sometimes watching, you know, a movie. Yeah, otherwise he was always, you know, with us in the living room and in our bed.
Yeah.
You know? And time to time I asked him, Mommy, you want to try? You see? No, Mommy. One time actually we started, you know, he went to sleep. He said, oh, I'm a big boy. I will go by myself. Okay, Mommy, go ahead. And then after half an hour, Mommy, I don't think I'm a big boy. I want to come back. Okay, just come back.
Yeah, so that's the way that you wean, like, you know, child-led weaning. We don't. It's not cold turkey where that's it, you know, and it's gone. You know, it's that child-led weaning. You know, oh, I'll try this out. But you're always welcome to come back. I'm not having you sleep with me to meet my needs, because I'm lonely or I want, you know, I'm doing it because you still show that you have a need and I'm being responsive to that need. And so the only thing I kind of have to do from a liability standpoint is make sure that, you know, we still say that there are some potential dangers, and, you know, that's why I encourage parents to, it's not for everybody. The other thing I was going to say when you were talking, I didn't want to interrupt, is both nursing and, of course, tactile stimulation, you know, holding, snuggling, which is that touch factor. Whenever that's happening, it stimulates brain cells to grow. So children who are in family beds, children who are breastfed, and of course, breast milk is different than bottle milk. There's some things that can't be replicated synthetically, and human milk builds brain muscles, builds brain cells, as opposed to cow's milk, which builds muscle cells. But it's just kind of another piece of research. And that was one of the things I really appreciated about the family bed, is it was written in very simple language and that it was not real academic, but yet she really laid out a lot of the statistics of just how unusual Americans are that we don't sleep in family beds. And, you know, she kind of has the same approach, and she didn't speak quite as passionately as you did because she was doing a research paper, but I would never push it, you know, as an option, but I really do want parents to feel like if that's what they are believing is best for their family and best for their child, to not deny their child that closeness. And you're right. I've got two kids that are grown now, and I savored every minute that they were willing to snuggle with me. So I didn't make them stay, but I also didn't force them to go.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your passion there and sharing your opinion.
Yeah, you're welcome. So this was my point of view. I don't know if others, they are sharing, you know,
this is one of those
feelings.
Yeah, this is one of those areas, and when I train the instructors, you know, there's the research-based effective tools. You know, we definitely want to teach those. But then there's some issues that are really a matter of opinion. You know, breastfeeding versus bottle feeding, working mom at home, family bed, not family bed, how, you know, TV, no TV, how much TV, you know. Those are all things that are for you as parents, for you to decide for your own family. Now, there's often research that will kind of point to one as maybe being more effective than another, or some things to keep in mind if you're going to do it. But we really don't kind of take like an official tool shop stand on those. We just try to educate about the options so the parents make an educated decision.
Yeah.
So, Well, good. Well, thank you again, Mahalia. Thanks for sharing your opinion on that.
You're welcome. My pleasure, and I will look forward for the other stuff that you told me as well on chapter 4.
Okay. Yes, we did some problem solving before we started the recording. So, hopefully when you get back to your computer, you'll find those extra articles easily.
Okay. So, thank you.
You're very
and
welcome.
Keep in touch. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Sounds good. All right. And I think I'll just go ahead, and I'm not seeing any other folks or questions. So I think we will just go ahead and end the webinar for the day. So take care, everybody. And we'll see you over at your pool shop. All right. Bye-bye.